Monday night, I spoke about that theme of the secret of your heart. Tuesday night, I spoke on the sound that you should be listening to of the Holy Spirit in your life and move when He tells you to move. Last night, what was the S word? Following the Savior. Tonight, I'm going to speak on salt, another S word. If you get your Bibles, turn to Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And if you can stand with me, please do. Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. Now, this is a pointless message. I don't have any points in my message, so it's a pointless message. But I will get my thought across if you'll just stay with me. And I say that so you can keep your Bible ready. We'll have a few verses I'd like you to mark in your Bibles that would pertain and apply both Old and New Testament. You know, whatever God gives us in the Old Testament, there's a New Testament illustration about it and a doctrine about it. And we need to compare the two and see that God's still got the same mind about it. And I want you to see this strange but unusual thought that I'm going to preach from tonight. The Bible said in Leviticus chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, and every oblation, anybody know what an oblation would be? It is an offering of bread, an offering of bread. And sometimes in other parts of the Bible, it's an offering of meat or meal, offering of meal. Meal offering, in other words, what the Bible said. But this is, in this verse, it's an offering of bread. And for every oblation of every meal or meat offering, thou shalt season it with what? Salt. Circle that word salt. It's mentioned three times in this one little old verse. Thou shalt season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the what? Salt of the what? Covenant of thy God. Notice the covenant of thy God. Must be something pretty special. For this to be a covenant of the Lord, the Bible said, to be lacking from the meat offering, with all thine offerings, thou shalt offer what? Salt. I want to stop there, but hold your Bibles ready. We'll go to a few other places by way of introduction here and let you see what it says. But did you notice the words covenant and the word covenant and the words salt three times mentioned? I want to preach on the covenant of salt. The covenant of salt. The Bible calls this the salt of the earth in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament it was a covenant of the Lord that people had to make. And I want you to see what the Bible says about the covenant of salt. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, I just pray that you'd enrich our hearts, and Lord, help us to want to grow in grace. Help us, Lord, to want to be faithful. And Lord, bless our nation in these days. Lord, in this election year, there's so much trouble in the air. I pray, Lord, you'd bring our leaders to their senses, help our preachers to stay right on course, Lord, with the Word of God. And Lord, I pray we won't lose our focus, and help us, Lord, as Christians to know our place in society, our place in this world. While we're living and breathing, God expects us to take our place and serve you rightfully so. I pray you bless now tonight. Give us your power, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The importance of unchanging salt. That's what I want you to get tonight, is that God wants us to be salt, and he wants us to be unchanging salt. You know, back in the Bible days, I've mentioned it, I think, on Sunday, they didn't have refrigeration. So their preservation mostly was by salt. If you could get something to last longer, you would put salt on it. And the Lord equates our life to salt, and we're the salt of the earth, but only those that are salt of the earth are those that are saved. But if you're going to be saved, you need to be preserved. In other words, you need to be separated. You need to be the person that is way away from the world. And our goal, now that we're saved, ought to get closer day by day to the Lord. That ought to be all of our goal. It ought to be that we want to be more like the Lord and not more like the world. And so I want you to hold your finger here and go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And let's get a little bit further into this thought. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Still with me? Say amen. Stay with you. Work hard on the, give me your attention on the introduction. It'll all come together after a while. So we read a while ago, it's a covenant of salt that the Lord required. Look what it says in verse 19 of Numbers 18. The Bible said all the heave offerings, I'm not going to preach about the heave offering, but the heave offerings was the firstborn of the flock. And whenever they had the first, they would take the firstborn of the flock, they would lift it high above their heads, and it was called the heave offering. That's not what I'm going to preach about tonight, but in the, it mentions it here. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offered unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. How long? Forever. It is a covenant of what? How long? Forever. Before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Now go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. The Lord mentions this covenant of salt in all three of these verses that I'm talking about. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 13 and verse number 5. 2 Chronicles 13 and verse number 5. Ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to who? All right, so God said, I'm going to give the kingdom of Israel to the Jews. I'm going to give it to a king. His name is who? David. Now, how's he going to do it? He's just not going to give it to him, but he's going to do it, look, with a covenant of salt, the Bible said. Save the kingdom over the over Israel to David forever. And notice the words forever again. Even to him and to his sons by what? Covenant of salt. All right, so God gave Israel to the Jew, and he gave the kingdom, the kingship, to David with a covenant of salt. All right, so we need to understand that it's an unbreakable friendship. We need to understand that it lasts forever. This covenant of salt is not just for one time and then it's done. It's one time forever. The covenant of salt. And it's something that God wants us to do. He does it in three ways. Number one, as friendships. He says a friend to friend. He wants you to do, take a covenant of salt. And then he said as saved people in the New Testament, we'll find out after a while, that it's a covenant of salt from God to his people. Salvation he offers. And then the way to save a nation is to have a covenant of salt between God and the nation. God and the nation. But I want you to notice, my friend, that it's an unbreakable friendship, this covenant of salt. Salt and bread. There are two ingredients for the covenant of salt. What is it? Salt and bread. That's the two ingredients. Even if it says a meal offering, even if it says a meat offering, it is this meat, is this bread that he's talking about. Salt and bread were to be eaten. Two people in a covenant together is called the covenant of salt. God even used it when he gave the nation of Israel over to the Jew and to David. Bread alone was not enough. Salt alone was not enough. And it's kind of like a type of marriage vows. It was forever. Forever. They would exchange the bread and exchange the salt, but they were willing to have an unbreakable friendship kin to the marriage laws. In so doing, it would be sealed as a friendship. Friendship that lasts forever. Can I say, my friend, we don't put enough on friendship. Friendships ought to last a long time. We ought not go through our friendships like lances and just give up on somebody because we have bad feelings or whatever. We ought to work that thing out. Amen. If you're part of the Lord, God's people ought to be able to get together. Amen. And get along. And so this covenant of salt, sometimes the meat offering, sometimes the meal offering, always the bread offering. He said there are two ingredients. What are they? Bread and salt. And it's a symbolic ceremony, this bread and salt. And it's an exchange between two people, number one. Then it was a God and his people. I know it's a little trivial, but can you imagine in your mind, this was not some symbolic thing other than friendship. God told them, I want you to have this covenant of salt. And it had to have bread, but not just any kind of bread. It had to be unleavened bread. And not just any kind of salt. It had to be savory salt. In the New Testament, the Bible says that salt that has lost its what? Savor is of no good. Right? So it couldn't be just any old salt. It had to be savory salt. And so this covenant of salt was binding in a relationship, and it could not be broken. It was a vow that they took together. Now they promised to be friends. Now they promised to have that friendship sealed. How long? Forever. That was God's covenant to Israel. That was God's and David's covenant. So God gave Israel to the Jew, and David gave Israel back to God. That was the covenant that was made there. And by the way, it's still going on forever. That's the covenant God made, and that was sealed then, and it's sealed now. And our friendship ought to be with the Lord. Our friendship ought to be with each other. The friends you ought to have, we said a little bit about it this week, ought to be God's people. Amen. You ought to make your best friends with the Lord. Anything else is unsavoring the salt. Amen. Anything else is unleavening the bread or leavening the bread. And so go to your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. Still with me? Matthew chapter 5. And you know the verse well, but mark it in your Bible if you haven't got it marked. Underline some of these words. Mark 5 and verse 13. Mark 5 and verse 13. The Bible said, ye are the what? Salt of the earth. But, notice these next words. But, that changes things. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But, if the salt have lost his savor. Did it say its savor? What's that word? His. It's not talking about the ingredient there. It's talking about people. People. Get the words. Now, we just kind of quote these sometimes without realizing what the words mean. The Bible said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, that's people. The Bible said, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So the Lord tells us that we're to be salt that's savored. We're not to be unsavored salt. And the Bible said, if we become unsavored salt, we've lost the power among people. We've lost our influence as people. God wants us to be his people. God wants us to be salt that's not good for nothing, but good for something. In the Old Testament, if you go back and study it yourself, in the Old Testament, when the city was captured, unsavored salt, and they would spread it all over the city that was taken, and they would trodden that city underfoot and destroy that city and mark it by spreading the salt. That would prove that it was destroyed. And it also proves in our life that if we are saved and not savor salt, then we're of no good. We're of no worth. We've been destroyed by the devil himself. All right, so the covenant of salt's got two ingredients. What are they? Bread and salt. Go to John 6:35. John 6:35. The Bible said, and Jesus said to them, I am what? The bread of life. He that cometh to me, the Bible says, shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. So the Lord is saying that he is the bread of life. So we, in the New Testament, you see the two types of the salt, of the covenant of salt. Who's the bread? Jesus is the bread. He is the bread of life, the Bible said. And the Bible says in another portion of Scripture that we are the salt, as we read a while ago, we're the salt of the earth. Now then, I want you to go to Romans, if you would please, the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. We'll read three verses, verses 1 through 3. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, prayer to God for Israel, is that thou might be what?
Saved.
Who does the saving? Jesus. He's the bread of life. That's how we got saved, through the bread of life. And the Bible said that we might be saved. But look at verse number 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The Bible said, for they, being ignorant of God's what? Righteousness, and going about to establish their own what? Righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the what? Righteousness of God. According to the book of Romans, there are two righteousnesses in the Bible. There's God's imputed righteousness, and there's man's personal righteousness. And God's imputed righteousness, of course, is salvation. That's where the salt comes in. And then he said, then there's man's personal righteousness. And God put his righteousness against my record, and then my sins against his record. And the Bible said, now I've been born again. But people are going to hell lost because they try to get there by their own righteousness. That's what the book of Romans teaches here. If you try to get to heaven by your own righteousness, you'll fall short. There has to be a covenant to the Lord. And that covenant is through the bread, and God makes you the salt. And God tells you that, hey, you're not to work your own righteousness into salvation, but you're to work your own righteousness, self-righteousness, by His righteousness into your life. God wants us to have His righteousness. He wants us to follow Him. So don't get all these things out of order. You ought to let God save us. That's the salt. And then we ought to have holy and personal righteousness. That's the separation. That's the savory salt. That's the savory salt. In Ezekiel chapter 22, if you want to mark it in your Bible, you can. If not, it's a very popular verse. Ezekiel 22:30, the Bible said, I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap before me, not before man, but before me, before God, for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I found none. You know the reason why our country is lame spiritually right now? Is because of no salt. Oh, you can be saved, and you can be saved and be the salt of the world, but if you've lost your savor, we've lost our influence. We've lost what God wants us to do. So the covenant of salt has two ingredients, bread and salt. And it's a covenant between God and His people when it comes to salvation. And so there's friendship, that's between two people. There's salvation, that's between God and man. And then there is the nation of friendship between God and His people. God and His people. 1 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen to me. My people, that's the salt. My people humble themselves, that's that savored salt. God wants us not to be just the salt of the earth, but He wants us to be savory salt. Because He told us, if you lose your savor, you're of no worth. I mean, you're not worth anything to me. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? The Lord told Lot that if God could find 10 righteous people, there's that word righteous. If He could find 10 righteous people, then Sodom would be spared. That's 9 plus Lot. So really all He had to do was find 9 other than Lot. But God couldn't find the 9. He said, I found none. The Bible said, just Lot vexed his own righteous soul about the sins of Sodom. So Sodom changed Lot rather than Lot changing Sodom. You know why we had the church here? You know why we're having revival here? You know why you're saved? Not that the world will change you, but God saved you that you could change the world. Amen. But you're not going to change the world if you lose your savor. We have to be that savory salt. Lot should have been a soul winner, shouldn't he? Lot should have been taught separation and teaching separation. If he could have just found 9 other people, Sodom would have been spared. By the way, Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt. Because God couldn't find 9 more righteous people. I wonder where we're headed in this country if we keep going further and further away from the Lord. I wonder if we're coming to be more like Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the covenant of salt when it comes to America? I believe when you get that bread and water mix of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christians being the salt of the earth, I believe that's when God at that moment intervenes. God can use by His own power, His own people, and intervene so something can happen for the good. It's called righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we need salt, don't we? But we don't just need salt. We need savored salt. Salt that has not lost its savor. 9 people saved. 9 people personally righteous. Sodom would have been saved. Leaven could not be used in the bread. Leaven could not be a part of this fermentation or any kind of mildew or any kind of altered part of the salt. It would not be good. God said it couldn't be used. And so if bread was to be leavened, it would be permanently altered. It would be permanently used with something else like yeast or baking powder for the dough. It would have a fermentation yielded to it, and it couldn't be used as unleavened bread. So God said, I want bread, but I don't want any kind of bread. I want unleavened bread. I want salt, but I don't want just any kind of salt. I want salt that's savored. Bread in the Old Testament rituals were examined carefully, very carefully, that no leaven would enter into it. Not any leaven in the bread or even in the salt. God said He wanted it to be pure. He wanted it to be right and unleavened. Now get the picture. Leaven pictured sin. What did leaven picture? Sin. Leaven pictured sin. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 13, there was a parable of unleavened, the Bible said. And He mentioned the Pharisees, the parable of the Pharisees, the unleavened of the Pharisees, the unleavened of the Sadducees, and the unleavened of the Herodians. So He named those types of people that He said were not part of the salt, and that was not part of the unleavened bread. Leaven today is trying to weave itself into the fabric of Christianity. Leaven today is trying to weave itself, and it's a fight. It's a fight of the devil every day of our life. We cannot let our salt be savored, unsavored. We cannot let our bread, as it were, be unleavened bread. There's only one salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. There's only one holiness, one righteousness, and that's through the unsavored salt. I'm telling you, my friend, if you're a Christian without standards, if you're a Christian without soul winning, if you're a Christian without surrender, if you're a Christian with friends of the world, or a Christian that have worldly friends, I'm telling you, my friend, you've lost your Savior. Oh, you're the salt of the earth, but you've lost your Savior. Let's get back to church where we have savored salt again. And the Christians that have power with God, and we've leavened the bread and we've unsavored the salt, and our people need to get back to what God said. For 45 years, our people have worked hard. I'm not here to shine my halo, but every day I wake up, we're planning another revival, we're planning another conference somewhere, we're planning another season for a campground somewhere. Every day. Preachers call today and we make plans. And almost every day of my life I'm making plans. Why? I believe that God can still work through righteousness. I believe that God can still work through revival. I believe that God uses His people. But we need to be the kind of people that have savored salt. Now don't throw your savored salt away. Don't become unsavored. Sodom's population, if you read some of your commentaries, they figured it to be around 100,000 people. 100,000 people. And God was looking for how many? 10 righteous people out of supposedly 100,000 people of that day. That's 1 in 10,000 people. Just 1 in 10,000. I don't know how large your city is. I don't know how large my city is. But if you do the math today, America has 300 million people thereabout in our population. If it's 1 in 10,000, then that turns out to be around 30,000. Now listen to me. You say, this is not about numbers. Well, the Lord used numbers for Sodom. So what if we used a few numbers for America? So for 45 years, I've tried to get my 30,000. If there's a numbers game going on here. If we use the same numbers the Lord used. And if you could get your 30,000 in your city, and your 30,000 in your city, and 30,000 here, and 30,000 here, God could spare America. I think one of the reasons why America has been so successful is because we put missionaries on the field. And we have put the gospel everywhere. When nobody wanted to carry the gospel, America has carried the gospel. Our churches still, for the most part, preach the gospel. We don't need to water it down. We don't need to have a leavened gospel. We don't need to have leavened Christianity. We need to keep it pure and keep it right. Keep getting people saved. Every day we wake up, we need to make a difference in this world. Every day. And I would say America's worth it. I think America's the last stronghold in the world. And God's used this country. I love my country, and I hate to see it go to people that hate our history and all the stuff we've been watching. It's strange how every election year they always say, oh, it's the worst ever. It's the most crucial election. And they've been saying that all my life. But it just seemed like it's self-induced, man-induced. I'll be jealous until God's people have that kind of an influence rather than the devil's crowd, their influence. But it's probable that more people serve the devil than do God. And you and I need to take our place in society. Take our place in our churches. Take our place. And if everybody quits, we don't quit. If everybody tries to give up on your standards and on your morals and on your convictions, you don't give up. You just keep going. And keep going. Teach your children. Teach your Sunday school. Help somebody along the way. Salt, but not just any old salt will do. Savored salt. Bread, but not just any old bread will do. Unleavened bread. If the salt has lost its savor, it's of no good. Not any good. I believe God will intervene if we get salvation and righteousness right with Him. I believe the answer for America is when God's people start being God's people again. Just think what could happen if we get back to soul winning and holy living again. I believe that's the only answer for a sin-cursed nation. Now, we don't mind making friends, and we ought to make friends. But there's two more parts to this covenant of salt. There's God and your salvation. I should say His salvation for you. You got that settled? If you got that settled, then you're doing it God's way. But then there's more than that. There's God and the nation. And God said, if you want to save your nation, you make sure you become a righteous nation. And the only way we're going to get people righteous in this country, or even think about it, is to get people saved. I hear this. Did you have a couple of people saved this week? You had four saved. As he left the meeting and got a burden for some people and had four people saved. That's what I'm talking about. What if all of us had that same kind of burden? Preacher was bragging on you today. He said, you're quite the soul winner. And I love that about people. They just don't just do it in a few, but they do it in life. And they live that whole thing out. I'm saying to you, my friend, what we need is let God intervene. And the way God intervenes is through the gospel and God's people living a holy life. A holy life. Now, it's easy to give up. It just seems like preachers today, and I don't gut shoot preachers, but I just want to give it as an illustration. Especially young preachers, sometimes it just seems like they're just looking for an excuse to compromise. Looking for an excuse to not do it the way the old timers did it. There are people that are writing books trying to say we need to apologize for the way we used to say things. I'm not going to apologize for the gospel. I'm not going to apologize for what old preachers used to preach. I'm not going to do that. We don't need to be the generation that backs up. We need to be the generation that moves forward and just carries that message. You're here tonight, and I'm thankful. We're just a small group, but may I remind us that Israel was a small nation. God took a small nation, and they're still the focus of the world today. All eyes are still on that little bitty tiny nation, no bigger than Rhode Island. Israel's not any bigger than the state of Rhode Island, but the whole world's eyes are on Israel. Because that's God's people. And you live righteous, and you won't be loved. Oh, you'll be loved by those that love you. But you won't be loved by the world. You'll be hated by the world. And the reason why America has been hated down through these years is because she has proclaimed holiness and propagated the gospel. So let's keep moving the direction of the covenant of salt. Number one, are you saved? Number two, have you got the right kind of friendship with each other? And number three, are you living to help save a nation for Christ? Well, that's my simple thoughts tonight. That's my S word for the Thursday night of the meeting. Let's stand, please. Look this way. Why would God use salt? Why would He do that? He did it so you and I would remember that not just any old salt will do. This salt is good as long as it's used for the first time and for the right things. But you put it out on the ground and let it go through rain or go through some kind of contamination, and it will lose its savor. And that's the same way with us if we get soiled by the world and used up by the devil. We've lost our savor. I think what we need to do tonight is come to this altar and say, Dear God, I know I'm the salt of the earth. That's what You named me. That's my title now that I'm saved. But Lord, would You help my salt to be savory salt? Would You help me to make a difference in this world? That's what we ought to want to be tonight. Savory salt. Saved by the bread of life, but salty for Christ. Father, bless tonight. Use this time that we have together. Help us, Lord, in these crucial hours, not to give up on our country or our friends or our Christian walk for Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor, you come. Take this invitation.